more, like we ought to do. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And we'll pick up here at verse number 5. Well, I'm going to read verses 1 through 5, but our text tonight will be verse number 6, really. I'll read verses from 1 through 6. Our text will be verse number 6. Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant, how all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. Father, thank you for your word, for this time tonight. Guide us and direct us and help us, Father. We pray in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Okay. Now, brethren, we've seen how that Paul is showing here how that though all the children of Israel came out and were delivered and were baptized in the Moses, the cloud, and the sea, yet the Bible says with many of them God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. And it's a warning, an example to us, brethren, that even though we've been saved, we've been brought out, delivered from the bondage of sin, and God is going to bring us in. Man, we're done there in Christ in heaven. And someday we're going to physically be there. Yet, brethren, we don't want to get overthrown in the journey. We don't want to find ourselves waylaid by the wayside on our journey. All right, and so examples are given to us in the Bible. The wanderings of the children of Israel, what they encountered, should be examples and warnings to us. Verse 6 says, "Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted." Lust is not always after a woman or a man. Lust can be after many things. All right, and the children of Israel lusted. And they fail. They fail. And we're going to see about that tonight. Now notice it says, now these things were our examples. The word example is defined as this. It's an instance serving for illustration of a rule or precept. So what happened to the children of Israel when they lusted after evil things is an example to us. It's an illustration for us to learn a rule and a precept that it not happen in our lives. That we not lust after evil things like they did and suffer the consequences. The word lust in the dictionary means this. It means to desire eagerly, to long. Brother Dawson, is it wrong to long after heaven? No, that's a good thing. That's good to do that. Is it wrong to long after the Lord? No, that's fine. Is it wrong to long after your husband or your wife or your children? No, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it says they lusted after evil things. After evil things. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. Take your Bible and go to Numbers 11. Numbers chapter 11. Let's see what happened. Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Numbers 11. Numbers 11. And look at verse number 1. Verse number 4. Numbers 11, verse number 4. Look at this. It says, "And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. And the children of Israel also wept again and said, Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember." Notice, the mixed multitude fell lusting. And then they got the children of Israel in on it. And they said, "Who will give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely. The cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. Oh, look at this. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes." Oh my goodness. And God freely gave that, came down, but just had to gather it up. I'm just taking it for granted. Oh, we got this manna. Oh, my goodness, brother. Man, brother, be careful. This will never take an attitude. I will get the Word of God, preaching and teaching. Oh, well, I'll be pretty satisfied with that. I'm honestly, brother. I'm not saying because I'm the one doing it. You know what I'm saying? Brother, if we get the preaching and teaching the Word of God, thank God. Let's ask for the bread from heaven. Amen. Look here. Look at this. Verse 7, "And the manna was as coriander seed, and the color thereof as the color of dillium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in meals, or beat it in a mortar, and baked it in pans, and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp on the night, the manna fell upon it. Then Moses heard the people weep throughout the families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. Moses also was displeased. Go with me now. No, keep reading. And Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight, that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? Now look at this. Go down with me to verse number 18. And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh. For ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. Ye shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you. Man, they've messed up. God says, you want flesh? I'm going to give you flesh. Till it comes out your nostrils. You're going to get flesh that's come out your nose. All right? Look here. Because that ye have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before Him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? Go now with me, please, to verse 31. Brother, you better be careful when you start longing after Egypt and thinking you had it better then. Verse 31, and there went forth a wind from the Lord and brought quails from the sea and let them fall by the camp as it were a day's journey on this side and as it were a day's journey on the other side round about the camp and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. God just dropped them birds, man. Quails from heaven, just dropped them out, man. Yeah, 2 cubits high, that's pretty good. Yeah, just all over the place. And the people stood up all that day and all that night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. He that gathered least gathered 10 omers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. They didn't even get it chewed. They got it in their mouth and didn't even get it chewed. And God smote them. And He called the name of that place Kibroth Hatteva, because there they buried the people that what? Lusted. They buried the people that lusted. Now, let's take our time and look at this a minute. I want you to notice how it all got started. Look at verse number 4. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting. You see, there was a mixed multitude that went out. The children of Israel were not the only ones that went out. Evidently, some of the Egyptians, it seems, went out with them. And guess what? This means that there was a group that went out that went through the water but not through the blood. Because you see, the Bible says, if you'll go read in Exodus, every house in Egypt had someone die. Every house. Every house. That means no house in Egypt had the blood on the door. The Bible says, if you'll go check it out, all the houses in Egypt, there wasn't one house that had someone that didn't die. From the firstborn of beasts to the firstborn of man. Nobody in Egypt put the blood on the door. So they didn't go through the blood. But they came with the Israelites and went through the Red Sea. They went through the water, they didn't go through the blood. And that's a lot of people, brethren, today. They've been baptized, but they've never been through the blood of Jesus Christ. They're church members, they've been baptized, but they have never been through the blood. They've never been washed by the blood of the Lamb. Alright? That's a mixed multitude, and our churches are full of it today. I believe across this land, honestly. See what happens? That means they don't have the new birth, man. They've been through the water, they've not been through the blood. Alright? And so, but they're with everybody. They're with that group, man. The Bible terms the children of Israel in the New Testament, the church in the wilderness. So there's a group in the church that's been through the water, but ain't been through the blood. And you know what? They start lusting. They start lusting, and they got the children of Israel to lusting. Brethren, you better be careful. You better be careful, because brethren, there'll be folks sometimes, and you see, look here. Don't you remember the Bible? The wheat and the tares grew up side by side. And the Lord said, let alone the time of harvest, lest you, when you root up the tares, you root up the wheat also. Why? The roots get entangled. You better let God figure that thing out and take care of that. Because you know what? A lot of times, when you root up a tare on your own, you'll pull out some wheat with it too. You'll mess somebody up. Because listen, some people don't understand. They don't know. They're new in the faith. They're young in the Lord. And they'll say those roots are entangled there. So what happens, brother? But you better watch. You better stay on guard. Because that crowd's been through the water, not through the blood. That's not really born of God. But they're in the church, if you will. They've made a profession, but they're not really in. They'll start wanting what's out there. They'll start wanting what they left in body but didn't leave in heart. Okay? They left Egypt in body but not in heart. Let me tell you something, brother. If you're saved in here, man, you pulled out of this world in your heart. You said, give me Jesus. All right? But you still got your flesh. That's the reason that mixed multitude can have an effect on you. So they'll start going, oh, man, I miss that stuff, man. I used to be able to do this and do that. And I'm not mad at God. I'm not mad at God. You know, it's the preacher and his convictions. I'm not mad at God. No, I'm not mad at God. God's good. It's Moses. Hey, Moses in here. Not God. I know God's good. Shoot. They're looking for an excuse. They know they're afraid to blame God. So they you know, Moses is handy. Moses, you know what I'm saying? Well, it's the preacher. And he's just the Pharisee. He's a Pharisee. He's just legalist, you know, or you know, else he's this or he's that. You know, and it's him, you know, and it's his stuff. And it's just too much. You don't have to get to talking that stuff. And then you'll get the saved crowd. You know, the children of Israel. You know? Man, that fish was good. Man, that garlic. Some of them fried onions. God dang, man. Muskmelon and honeydew and honeydew and cantaloupe and man, watermelon. Man, I'm cracking his desk. I can just taste all the old good watermelons and leeks and garlic. Oh man, a little garlic and some fish. Man, we got it good. All we got now is this manna. Oh boy. That's fearful. You better watch. You better watch. Because that mixed multitude, that crowd, will start wanting what they left in body but didn't leave in spirit. And since you still got flesh and you remember what it was like to be lost, and you remember some of the pleasures of the flesh, brother, come on, sin feels good. You wouldn't be tempted if it didn't feel good. Sin feels good. And you get to making the connection and thinking again, you know? And boy, if you're not careful, you'll listen to that stuff. Especially when somebody pull you off to the side, you know? And say, you know, don't you think? I think that, you know, and I mean, don't get me wrong, Moses is a good man, but you know, now he is a little power mad now. You know, he's a good man and everything. That's just his opinion. You better be careful. And that's you thinking. You know, he used to be able to, oh, man. Okay. All right. Hey. Okay. We're going to park the building to the Red Sea here. But you know, remember we used to, you know, what was the wrong with that? That was, you know, and boy, you get to thinking about stuff and you're like, yeah, you know, man, that's, boy, and here you go. You get long enough for that stuff. Brethren, I want to tell you something. Where was I? I was somewhere the other day, and I smelled something, and it reminded me back to something when I was like in the first or second. You know what I'm saying? Maybe back when I was a kid in some store or something. I couldn't believe it. They say smells tied more to memory than anything else. But I mean, it don't take much to get you, you know. Brethren, look here. That mixed multitude fell lusting. What was it they wanted? Look what it says. Look what it says in Numbers 11. Look what it says they wanted. Well, see, they got the children of Israel in on the thing. They got the children of Israel thinking about it. And look what it says in verse number 4. Who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat you freely, the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, the garlic. You know what they wanted? Flesh and flavor. They wanted flesh and they wanted flavor. And you know what there's a part of you, your flesh wants? It wants flesh and it wants flavor. Wants flesh. It wants to be able to allow. Here's one we talk about dying to self. Your flesh wants to live. It wants to do what pleases it. Hey, God knows that you got flesh. He gives you the opportunity to have a husband and a wife and, you know, food and, you know, in moderation and the right things. But your flesh wants just to gratify itself whenever it wants to, on whatever it wants to. And you know what? And it wants flavor. It wants flavor. Man, it's just so boring. Can't we liven it up a little bit? Yeah, that's it. Can we liven it up a little bit? I mean, you know, we could reach people. We could reach people if we just, you know, get it a little, just so, it's just so. You ain't going to get them from God that way. You'll get them, but you won't get them from God. you will not get them from God that way. You know what? And Brethren McKeer, you'll get folks to think. You know, again, like Tozer said, like I said this morning, we got the same kind of product, but better. But better. And we'll go to Carowinds on Christian Day. Okay? What I'm saying is, brother, listen. I'm just saying, brother, by God's grace, we're not taking a church trip. We're not taking the youth out to a place like that in the middle of summertime where they're half naked and running around, you know. What are we going to do? We're going to all go to the Christian water park out there? I mean, come on, brother. We're going to go to the Christian water park. You know, I mean, that ain't going to cut it, brother. You know. I mean, I'm sure you'd go anyway. And I'm sure you would follow Brother Doss and his overalls and shirt down the... I mean, come on, brother. Listen. It's one thing. I was thinking it was wrong if you time your time right. Well, there's times we've gone down in the evenings at the beach in a place where nobody else around. Brother, you go to a place like that, you're surrounded. You just plopped yourself down right in the middle. And somebody says, I got problems here. I'm trying to beat this thing with lust. Man, you are not. What are you going to do? Lord, help me now. Lord, help me now. Honestly, man. They need what? You got to give them yourself. The right kind of things. Good things. Brethren, flesh and flavor. Flesh and flavor is what they wanted. All right? Listen, that lost crowd got them thinking about it, but since they had flesh too, they wanted it too. They wanted it too. Brother, be careful. Because you know what? Let me explain something. Let me explain something. If you go that route, God's church is what march on, my friend. And those who want to do right by God are going to go on. You will be the one by the wayside in a little bit. Okay? You go that route, you're going to damage some, but the cause of God will go on. But you're going to hurt yourself. All right? Brethren, look here. I've known situations where folks, you know, wanted flesh and wanted flavor. You know, there ain't nothing wrong with this. There ain't nothing wrong with that. And that's just all ridiculous. That's Brother Dawson's stuff. That's just another. And brethren, pretty soon, they are in a mess. Their self. All the hurt was their self. You better watch that. Mixed multitude will get you to thinking. And then if you get some little slight, you know, going and some little thing in your flesh, you know, it wants to have that flesh. It wants to have that flavor. You better desire spiritual things. But look here. Brother Doss, don't you think we could pull more in? Yeah, we probably could, but what kind would we pull in, maybe?
Right.
What kind would we pull in? You know? We might pull in a mixed multitude that would mess your kids and my kids up, you up and me up, who knows? Right. We might pull in some folks that, even if they're not a mixed multitude, they may have been around a mixed multitude, and they'll be like, you know, brethren, yeah, you can pull all kinds of folks in, but what are you going to pull in? Oh, brother, I'd love to have them packed in. So, think here, we'd have to bust walls and find a new place. Even though we just got to, I'm serious. But, brethren, I want what God wants us to have. And, brethren, maybe God sometimes, listen, brethren, you know what? We can still get the gospel out and get people saved even if they never come here, huh? You know that? You get the gospel out to somebody and they get saved, and who knows where God will put them at. But how about let's God have us here what He wants us to be here? You know, brethren, I prayed this morning. I prayed this morning. I said, Lord, I pray that you'll send out today. I mean, God's not going to make nobody come out, but Lord, I pray you'll put on somebody. I pray you'll, Lord, press upon people's hearts who needs to be here today. And I said, Lord, keep away. You don't need to be here. And for somebody don't need to be here today. Why, Brother Doss? Now what? Hey, I didn't say I knew that somebody shouldn't be here. I said, Lord, if you know that somebody shouldn't be here because of the problem, then Lord, you try to keep that away right there. All right, look here. Let's go on a minute. They wanted flesh and flavor. Can I point something else out to you? Look at this. Look at Numbers 11. Let me point something out to you. Check this out.
They said in verse 4, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish that was which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers, the melons, and the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away. There's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. Now, check this out. I want you to listen to this statement. Do you realize you don't know you have it bad till someone tells you that you do? Do you know that? Did you know that until those folks, until that mixed multitude started making a mess, the children of Israel didn't know they had it bad? Brethren, we need to be careful because somebody's liable to tell us and our young'uns. They're fine until somebody tells them you've got it bad, and they're all like, man, I'm being denied. Well, we had no problem before. You know what I'm saying? We had no problem before until somebody put a poison thought in that mind. You're missing out. They didn't know they had it bad until someone told them that they did. They didn't have it bad. And what I'm saying is, guess what that shows them? They really weren't bad off. See, if all of a sudden, you all of a sudden think, oh man, I'm miserable. I'm depressed. This is horrible. I have no quality of life. Well, did you 5 minutes ago? Well, yeah, I was happy as a lark. What happened? Did your life change? No, somebody just told you that you were missing out on something that now you think you're supposed to have. You were doing fine, weren't you? So you're really not bad off. And brethren, that's true. You're really not bad off till somebody tells you something and then you think, oh, man, brethren, the devil's one of the best salesmen there is. And ain't that the way it works? How does sales work? Convince somebody they need something that they don't really need. Isn't that true? So very often, I mean, brethren, suppose you have a store and there's the stuff for people just to come by. I'm not talking about all sales. Don't get me wrong, brethren. I'll have you vendors, man. I get ready to wring my neck. You know, you got the trucks and everything here. There. But what I'm saying is you have a store. But brethren, look here. And you know so very often, if you got a gadget. Now, you got to tell somebody, madam, if you don't get the super duper whooper duper, with the reverse woofer and tweeter, you know, and this, you know, and then if you don't have this, then you know what? You'll just never, your life can't go on. It's reverse bias and triple this and that and dual AC and I don't, it's got everything. And if you don't have this, then you just can't function. In fact, man, I don't know how you've been doing it now. I mean, how have you been living without this product? I just, you know, and pretty soon she's like, wow. Honey, I've been making it. You know, I've got to, don't you love me? I've got to have this. And, you know, and she, not realizing I've been doing fine.
Right.
I've been making it fine. Everything's been going fine. My life has been, but somebody told you, you have to have this. Somebody told you now, you're in need. Somebody told you, and they convinced you of that. All right? And I really, that's the way the devil sells sin. You know, you give somebody to give a testimonial. They pay you so much money. My life changed when I got product A. I was so miserable. But now, I have, you know what I'm saying? You know what goes on here? The devil's selling sin, so he gets that mixed multitude to bear a testimonial here about some things. I'm telling you, brethren, you don't know you have it bad till someone tells you that you do. Some of you kids have heard me tell that story about that girl I met in Bilo that time. She worked at the cash register, and she had a dress on. And I read that. I'm just telling you. What am I going to say to you? I'm just being honest. I could tell she had been around things of God. It was a testimony. It was a blessing. She looked good. You know what I'm saying? She looked like she had something together. You know what I'm saying? She looked. She had some humility. She had a dress on. She had a, you know. And I went, and she was our checkup. And I said. I appreciate you wearing that dress. I said, where do you go to church at? Something like that. Well, she's Pentecostal. But I told her, hey, I'm glad. You know what I'm saying? I didn't say, when she said I'm Pentecostal, I didn't go, oh, great. Well, I was going to compliment you, you know, on your separation. But you got trouble. You know, I mean, come on, brethren. Why am I going, you know? I mean, I tried to encourage her, you know, in that. And her eyes lit up. She said, thank you. She said, thank you. And I thought, that's a blessing, amen. 2 weeks later, going to get my groceries. And she's still got a dress on. But she's different. See, when I went through the line that time, she was kind of, she'd count money and her head was kind of, you know, and she said, thank you, you know. But she was, this time she was cutting jokes with a bag boy. And I thought, someone feel right here. There's a shamefacedness she had that she didn't have now. See, she was shamefaced. She was like, thank you, sir. You know, and she had kind of, you know, kind of little, she's shamefaced. She was, now there was, it was brazen. She's more lifted up. You know, she was cutting. Oh, no. Oh, no. Oh, no. I got worried. Well, I was going down the road about a month or two later, and as I was going down the road, you know, I looked off to my left. I was, what? And there was a girl mowing some grass, right? And she had on a tight pair of shorts, man. Tight pair of black shorts. And I thought, that looks like that girl, man. And I was like, nah. No, that can't be. Really, I thought. But I didn't believe it was her. And I thought, man, she looks like that girl. That girl's got somebody who looks like her. And I went on my way, right? A couple weeks later, I saw her mowing grass again in the same outfit. I thought, that's her. So I thought, I gotta do something. So I pulled off in there and I went up to the house there and I said, hey, how y'all doing? I said, my name's so and so, you know, I'm pastor name. I said, remember I got the girl's name. I said, is there a girl here named so and so? And they said, no. I said, is a girl named so and so live here? They said, no. I said, well, I'm sorry. I said, I knew this girl that she had worked at Milo and she just dressed right and she it just it was a blessing to me. And I said, I guess I was mistaken. I turned to leave. He said, no. He said, come here. He said, you're right. He said, she doesn't live here anymore. She's moved out, but that is my daughter. He said, she's not right with God now. And I ducked my head and I said, I kind of thought so. He said, she's going to live somewhere else with her grandma or something. He said, you know, she... I said, well, can I get a number I could call her and talk to her? And so I called her and talked to her. And, you know, her thing was, I think she was high, but, you know, she said that she was tired of being told when to fast, when to pray. Okay, and, you know, you shouldn't do that, man. You got to have your spiritual life. But still, what happened was she got a taste there. And, hey, just because she dressed right, now, that didn't mean she was saved or anything, but it was better off than, and you know what, here's the thing, brother, let me explain. Here's what I bet you happened. You know what? I tried to get... She almost was going to come out of church. You know why she didn't? Because we believe in eternal security. She was afraid of it. She was afraid of it. She said, I just don't think I could... You know, because she knew, you know, we believe in eternal security and things still. But here's the point I really want to make to you tonight. Here's the point I want to make to you. You know what I bet happened? I may be wrong, but you know what I bet happened? I bet you one of them bag boys... I bet you one of them bad boys said, why are you dressed like that? Well, you know, I've been brought up this way and don't you get tired of that? I bet you she never thought about getting tired before the question was put to her.
Right.
I may not be right, but I bet you.
Right.
All right. I bet you there's things she questioned she'd never questioned before. Yeah, don't you ever, well, does that sound like the devil in the Bible? If thou be the, hey, yea, hath God said, don't you turn to that? Don't you, wouldn't you like to, man, your mom and dad's rough on you. Huh. You know? Yeah, maybe they are. Maybe they are kind of rough on me. Huh. So then she goes home, right? And maybe a little something instant happens. The devil knows how to do it just right. And maybe your mom and dad, who don't usually do it, but maybe snaps. Oh, what? What are you doing? Like, okay. The devil says, see? Those guys work all right. They're just on your back. You know what I'm saying? Oh, the devil knows how to work behind the scenes. You guarantee if he's working on that end, he's going to be working on the home end too to set up something. And pretty soon, she's going, see, I bet you, I'll go for mom and dad who saved this and that, but I bet they loved her and cared about her. So I bet you, I know they cared more about her than the bag boy at Milo. I know that. See, I'll never forget one time when I was first in the military. We were coming out, you don't remember it, but we were coming out, and there was a bag boy talking to a girl there at the commissary. And you know what he was telling her? He was telling her, he was just cutting her family down. And this, that, and the other. And I thought, you're a bag boy. Shut up. You know, what are you telling this, I don't know if I'm being a bag boy, but what I'm saying is that's not exactly, you know, where you go to get counseling advice on life. You know, you can put up a sign there. We'll do groceries and counseling on the way to the car. But listen, brother, hey, you know what? That's why, brother, I'll tell you something. Moms and dads, be careful. Let's be careful. Hey, Ellie, Luke, Alicia, Aubriana, Ashley, Mariah, Ben, Katie, Taylor, some of the older ones here. There are people out there that your life will convict just by the very manner of dress that you have and the way that you are. So instead of them changing, they want to change you.
Right.
And you know what they'll try to tell you? Where you're happy, they'll try to tell you you're not happy. And they'll try to tell you all that you're missing out on. And you never realized you missed out on it. Let me tell you something, you're not missing out on it. Misery loves company. And the devil's trying to take and work through that to bring you down. You need to be aware of it. Mom and Dad, but you know something? Me telling that, what I'm telling you, Mom and Dad, really, me trying to tell the kids that, that's not really going to do it. You, Mom and Dad, need to sit down every now and then and tell them what they're going to encounter sometimes out there. And what people are going to say and how they're going to... So that when it hits them, they're like, Mom and Dad, tell me about this. They told me about this. And this is true. This is right. You're trying to, you know, it's the same thing right here. Let me tell you something. If you want to have a pity party, the devil has somebody out there to come up to you and tell you how bad you've got it. You know, hey, ladies, let me tell you something. The devil has somebody to tell you what a bad husband you've got. You know, how you need a... You know what I'm saying? Guys, the devil has somebody out there to try to tell you how that you need somebody to look after you and care for you. You know, I mean, he's got somebody. And they'll try to convince you of how bad you've really got it. This is what we see in the text here. The children of Israel were doing fine until the mixed multitude got them thinking, wow, you know, we do miss all that. Man, we don't have it good. Man, there's... I'll say it again. You don't know you have it bad so often until somebody tells you that you do. Can I tell you this? They remembered the flesh and they remembered the flavor, but they forgot the rigor and the bondage. They remember the flesh and the flavor. Man, that fish. Ah, oh, a little garlic on that fish and some onions and some melons. Man, in Egypt, did we really have it so bad? Oh, did you have it bad? Well, don't you remember when you were crying out to God because of the rigor and the hard bondage? The devil don't remind you of that. You'll pull in, listen, you'll go into a store. And there's the oldies tune that was playing when you were 14 and you were somewhere. And you know what? There you are at the age you are now. But the devil tries to tell you you're 14 again. Listen, and you'll hear that. But you know what? You know what? You will never come to your mind unless you make it come to your mind? All the problems and the junk you had too. I'm telling you, don't come to your mind. Well, here's an example. You do not see the mission in... You do not see the mixed multitude saying, but you know, you guys had it hard there. That's not brought up. All right? And the devil won't remind you of it. You've got to remind yourself. And I believe the Spirit of God will if you listen to Him. Yeah, don't you remember the problems you had? Don't you remember how miserable you were? He'll remind you of that. Just, oh man, those good tunes. And remember, you were this, you were there, and you were, boy, and you were lighthearted, you didn't care in the world. Lies! 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 And you weren't satisfied because you want to be older. There you are, 14. You know, you didn't want that. You wanted to be older. You wanted license and job and life. And you was like, I'm grown up, man. I'm grown up. And what do you remind you of all that stuff? And you say, man, youth. Yeah, man, that was good. That was... He's not going to remind you of the bad stuff. You have to remind yourself of it. That is true, brother. It is true. Let me tell you something. He knows how to set a scene with music and sights and smells and sounds and to get you. And what he wants to do, listen, at the most, he wants to get you back in sin. At the least, he wants to make you look absolutely stupid. He wants you to do something where you don't look your age, you look stupid, and you make a fool out of yourself. And he's, you know, that's the minimum. The maximum is to get you back in some sin. Get you back in. You think it can't happen? You're crazy if you think, well, you know, you get older, you get a little. No, forget it. No, the only thing that makes you right and keeps you right is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is your sins washed away in His blood and the service for Him and knowing Him. That's it. I told you, brethren, I just got the news that a friend of mine who was a high school, who's now my old high school football coach. He's the coach of the high school. He teaches biology. Him and his wife are now up on selling drugs, third drug charges. Front page of the it'd be like the front page of the News and Courier. The Winston-Salem Journal. It's the front page he made, top story, picture on it. His mugshot and his wife's mugshot. His mama was my teacher in high school. His daddy was a school principal up there. He taught biology, run the football program, and now they're up for some marijuana and methamphetamines. Found them in their house, busted them. It's a mess. No, age doesn't make you smarter. Salvation is what changes you. That and that alone. And brethren, the thing is, you've got to stay on your toes and watch. The devil's out there to set something up for you. He'll remind you of the flesh and the flavor, but he won't remind you of the rigor and the bondage. All right, let's go on here just a minute. Let me say this to you. They said, look what they said in verse 6, Numbers 11, 6. But now our soul is dried away. We're just drying up, dying. There's nothing at all besides this manna before our eyes. Goodness, brethren. If God was like us, He'd have struck them dead then. Do you know something? But if God was like us, He'd have said, you ingrate, you're done. But you know how we are. Don't kid yourself. We know how we are. But He didn't. But He's going to make them pay for it. But notice they said their soul was dried away. Look what the Bible says also. Look at this. Check it out. Verse 10. Look at this. And then Moses heard the people weep. They cried throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. This is nothing. No quality of life. Wait a minute. No quality of life. I mean, any of your relatives, what kind of quality of life are you giving these children? Come on, brother. What quality does this life offer outside of Jesus Christ? Huh? I mean, honestly, what quality is there in this life outside of Jesus Christ? Brother, it's a lie. You're talking deceived. But they'll lay that one on you. You're not giving them any quality of life. The poor dears, the poor darlings, they must you dress them that way. You know why? Because grandma and grandpa's embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? Our aunt and uncle's embarrassed, or neighboring, you know, or they're embarrassed because they're not dressed like, you know, and their clothes and their nakedness is covered and everything's taken care of, and the kids are doing fine. But you got to be careful. Sometimes relatives wouldn't do that. Honey, are you really happy? You know, sometimes you need to set ground rules with relatives. And I don't really think there's anything wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with setting ground rules and saying, look, we don't want this and this and this. Please respect our wishes. It would be wrong for anybody in this room, I believe, to use their grandkids. We all agree with that, as weapons. You know what I'm saying? You don't use kids as pawns. But there's nothing wrong with setting ground rules and expecting those things to be respected. You know, and if they're trying to say, well, are you happy? Now, ask a kid if he's happy. Come on, brethren. If he's having a bad day, no, I didn't get what I wanted. You know what I'm saying? I mean, happiness sometimes to a child is kind of, so then there's one that, see, they're not happy. Honey, what? I was talking to little Sissy Poo today, and you know what she said? What? She's not happy. My little great great grandbaby's not happy. No, she's not happy. And I think it's because of the way that they're raising them, they're doing. She's not happy. And we need to do something about that. You're right. We need to do something about that. So you don't have a talk with you. You try to be respectful and put them in. Let me tell you something. Very wise as a serpent, harmless as a dove. Some of them will turn you in. Now, I'm not trying to put you afraid, but there's some of them that will take today and will do that kind of thing because you're not providing quality of life. Amen. Hey, there ain't nothing new in the sun, baby. Our souls dried away. There's nothing but this manna. You know what I'm saying? We're just, what kind of life is that? Oh, brethren, look here. Let me tell you something. All you kids right here all the way back. All you kids right here and all the way back. You've got it so wonderful. But else, what do you mean I've got it so wonderful? You got a mom and daddy that love you. You got people in this church that pray for you and love you. And you know what? You got a mom and dad that's trying to put discipline in you. They love you. You know what? And they're not thinking about you in the short term. They're thinking about you in the long term. And that's good. And that's good. Y'all thank God for that. Y'all thank God for that. But there's people out there that will tell you, they'll try to convince you. You know what to do? The devil will time it, kids. The devil will time it on the day that you're not having a good day. And he'll plant that thing in your mind that, you know, you're just really being done wrong. No, you're not. By the way, brethren, even when you get older, people put things in your mind.
Right.
And try to tell you how bad that you've got it. All right, look here. They wept. They cried, brethren. These are grown men, they cried. Listen, they cried. They acted like children. They whined. No quality of life. Ungratefulness. That's the big thing today. I said, you know, quality of life. Well, who sets the standard for what's quality of life? See? The news media, TV, and this and that. Oh, brethren, look here. We know our standard is that book. And that makes us different. And we're thinking of long term, the long run. All right, let's go on just a minute. Take your Bible to Psalm 78. Psalm 78, verse 27. It says, He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowls like as the sand of the sea. Ain't that something, man? Birds all over the place. And He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat, and were well filled. For He gave them their own desire. Oh, my. Uh-oh. God answered their prayer and gave them what they wanted. Be careful. Be careful. God may give you what you want. Okay?
Oh, no, no, no. If He's a good God, then He ought not do that.
Stop it. Then why did you keep praying it? Why didn't you just say, Thy will be done, Father, and leave it at that? Why did you keep saying, you know what? No, He's God. He may teach you a lesson. He may give you what you want. You pester God to death. You pester God and whine and complain. And I don't know why I can't have it, God. I'm trying to serve you. I'm doing it right. You know what? Okay, go ahead. He may let you have it. You will regret the day you ever prayed that prayer. Do what the Bible says. He gave them their own desire. He let them have it. He really let them have it. They wanted it. Lord said, hey, no problem. You want flesh, man. 2 cubits high, man. I'll give you flesh. Look what happened. Let's go on. Look what it says in verse 29. So they did eat and were well filled, for He gave them their own desire.
they were not estranged from their lust. Did you get that?
I mean, you might be thinking, Brother Dawson, why did God give it to them? And then before they even had it chewed up, smite it. Why did He do that to them? The Bible says they were not estranged from their lust. Evidently, He gave them that and they still weren't satisfied. Evidently, from what I gather from it, they were ungrateful and didn't appreciate it, just getting in their mind and just going with it. And buddy, God smote them with it. With a plague.
Oh, brethren, you better be careful. You are kidding yourself if you think, God, if you'll do this for me, I will really be satisfied.
Satisfaction does not come from you setting some kind of standard up, and if God meets it, you'll be happy. Satisfaction is, God, I'm content with you, period, no matter what you choose from me. If you have a scenario that you say, I'll be happy, God, if you'll do this, no, you won't be, and you're kidding yourself. You'll be back pestering the daylights out of God again and whining over something you want your way. You've got to get to the point that you're satisfied with God, period. I didn't say you shouldn't pray and ask God if the situation could go a certain way. Don't whine and act like a child over it. There's a difference between a child saying, Mama, Daddy, could we go by the store and get, there's a difference with making with a child asking and going, I want this, I want that, I'll hold my breath till I get it. Let them hold their breath and pass out, man. Let them hold their breath and pass out. Just put them in the carpeted room. Set them down. And say, go. Then I hold it on you again. Go. They're going to pass out and breathe. Let them hold their breath. They probably won't get that far. Some probably, man, have it in them to go that far. But some, they'll pass out and they'll breathe. You know what I'm saying is, brethren, there's a difference between you petitioning God and asking Him something to be His will and then pitching a fit and complaining and having an attitude. And you won't be happy. You're not going to be happy until you're content with God and His will for your life. And you can say, Father, Thy will be done. Alright? Look here. Look at verse 30 again. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them and slew the fattest of them and smote down the chosen men of Israel. Take your Bible and go to Psalm 106. Lord, I want this. I want this. I want this to work out this way. I want this possession. I want this. I want this. I want this. And praise God, I do everything in my power and I bring it to pass. Praise the Lord. Look what He did for me. No, He didn't. No. He let you pull your own strings and let you get what you wanted.
Yeah.
And you're going to find out He knew best.
And it ain't going to be pretty. It's just not going to be pretty. That's all there is to it. It's just not going to be pretty. I want y'all to listen up to me, kids. I won't labor the point tonight. I want to tell you something. If you want something that will kill a marriage and cause it stress quicker than alcohol or anything, I'm serious. Debt will do it.
Yep.
Debt will do it. Debt will do it. If you want something to stress a marriage, debt will do it. Psalm 106 verse 14. Psalm 106 verse 14. But lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tempted God in the desert. Look at verse 15. And He gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. Oh my. What awesome words that is. God gave them their request. God let them have what they wanted, but they paid for it in their soul. He sent leanness in their soul. They pester God and whine and complain. And God says, okay, here you go. He gave them what they wanted, but sent leanness in their soul. They paid for it. Hit that plague, man, they dropped. Be careful, my brethren. Please be careful. God may just give you what you want until you're sick of it. God may give you what you want until you are sick of it. God may give you what you want, and it may be the ruin of you. Notice it says they were not estranged from their lust. The word estranged means withdrawn, withheld, alienated. They were, listen, you know what they were? They were full, but not satisfied. Check it out. They were full, but not satisfied. Brother, go back real quick. Go back to Psalm 78. Let me show you this. Go back to Psalm 78 real quick. Look at this. Man, look at this. Psalm 78, look at verse number 29. So they did eat and were well filled. Did you see that? Doesn't your Bible say they did eat and were well filled? So they were full, man. For He gave them their own desire. Look, they were not estranged from their lust. Ain't that something? To be estranged means to withdraw and withhold. So they were, the Bible says they were filled, but still lusted. They were full, but not satisfied. My goodness, brethren. See, here's the problem. Either they're going to be satisfied with that man that God was providing, or they won't be satisfied, period. God gave them what they wanted, and they still weren't satisfied. And if their lust, they paid for it. God sent a plague on them. I get the picture of them being ungrateful, unthankful, man. If that stuff's in their mouth, they chewed it, and God slowed them. They were filled, but not satisfied. You see, brethren, let me tell you something. Every person in this room, you hear me? Myself and every person in this room, if you are not... Anybody listen to this tape? If you... I don't care who you are, where you are. If you're not content right now, you're never going to be content.
Right.
Are you with me? If you are not content with your circumstances right now, I don't care if they change, you won't be content. And you mark it down. Everybody, myself on down to everybody in this room, anybody listening to this tape to say, if you're not content right now, I don't care how things change, you will still not be content. You mark it down. I have the Word of God to back me up on this thing. I'm serious, man. If you're waiting for something to change in your life and you'll be happy and content, you are deceiving yourself. You say, I know me. That book knows you.
Amen.
The one who wrote that book knows you. And you ain't no different than anybody that's ever been in that book. God, listen, they had manna. They didn't want it. God gave them what they said they wanted. But still, we're not estranged from the lust. If you're not satisfied right now with where you're at in the Lord, you're never going to be satisfied. You better get content now. You better learn godliness with contentment, which is great gain, now. You learn that, then if God has you abound or God has you're fine, man. You're content in Christ. Now, are you? You better know the answer to that one in your heart. They were full, but they were not satisfied. They were unthankful and unappreciative. Now, remember what our definition of lust was? It means to desire eagerly, to long. In closing, I want you to look at something I think is very intriguing. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10. Go back to 1 Corinthians 10. I want to close with something that I think is real interesting. Man, this thing, wow. Look at 1 Corinthians 10. To lust means to desire eagerly, to long. Now I said, what's wrong with, nothing wrong with longing and desiring your husband, your wife, your kids, longing for God, longing for heaven, longing for good things. But the Bible says they lusted after evil things. Now rather, when you look at the children of Israel's journeyings, evidently this has to be what it's referring to, because this is when they lusted. They lusted, the Bible says after this. But 1 Corinthians 10 said, they lusted after evil things. Whoa. What is evil about fish, quail, cucumbers, melons, garlic, and onions? No. It didn't say they lusted after strippers. They didn't lust after other women. It didn't say they lusted after flesh, man. Fish, cucumbers, leeks, onions, garlic, man, they wanted flesh. What's that mean? But the Bible says they lusted after evil things. Listen up. The word evil is defined as this: wicked, wrong. I believe, brethren, it was evil because, listen to me, I believe it was evil because it was a desire grounded in discontent and unthankfulness. don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with quail. I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with fish. I don't think the problem was the fish was bad. God literally lets people eat fish, man. I don't think there's a thing in the world wrong with garlic, onions, cucumbers, and this, that, and the other. I think the problem was it was grounded in the desire was grounded in discontent and unthankfulness. Listen to me. A right thing can become a wrong thing depending upon your attitude toward it. Attitude. A right thing. Man, check it out, man. The Bible says they lusted after evil things. Well, man. A right thing can become a wrong thing depending on your attitude about it. You don't believe it? The Bible says, once there is not faith, is sin. Something may be okay, but if you believe it's wrong, it is wrong for you. A right thing can become a wrong thing depending on your attitude about it. They were discontented. They were unthankful. God gave them what they said they wanted. Oh, brethren. But I believe if they had to do over again, they wouldn't have done it. Brethren, you better watch. Better watch. Sometimes there'll be a mixed multitude. There'll be a crowd that's been through the water, but not through the blood. And since you still have flesh, they'll start hungering and desiring and lusting after things that you can identify with, and they'll get you to desire the same things if you're not careful. Be careful. You'll forget that you got it good, and you won't realize you got it bad until somebody informs you that you had it bad. You need to stop and take stock a minute and say, wait a minute. I don't have it bad. They're trying to tell me I am, but until they said that, that doesn't go on fine. You have to stop and take stock just a minute. You better watch what you pray for. Nothing wrong with making a petition to God, but can you say, Father, thy will be done. I trust you, Lord. You know what's best. Or are you determined to have your way? Are you content right now? If you're not content right now, you're not going to be content if something changes. Don't kid yourself. You're not. Godliness with contentment is great gain. But what else? No, really. If I only fill in the blank. If I only had a new house, new car, new clothes, new situation, a new this, a new that. Just fill in the blank. Just fill in anything. If I only had that, I'd be happy. No, you wouldn't. No, you don't know anybody else. I'll be content. No, you don't want that. No, you won't. And you're kidding yourself. And you're kidding. If I said that, I'd be kidding myself too. No. Come on now. Let's get real simplistic with it. All right. So you kids, you need to know this. Oh, if I just had that dress, that shirt, that's the ultimate. Until they come out with the new style next week, next year. Don't you understand? How do these stores stay in business, man? Come on back, brother. You're always going to see a new tone color, a new design, and think, I've got to have that. You're either satisfied with the clothes you've got on your back, or you ain't going to be satisfied. No, Brother Doss. Oh, yes, Brother Doss. Because just as soon as you get something else, you're still going to see something else that will satisfy you better. Come on. That's fact. Learn contentment now. Let's see. You can't have things that God allows you to have. I didn't say that you can't ask God for certain things that are right. But are you willing to pray, Father, thy will be done? And Lord, I'm content. I'm content. I mean, I have a desire. But God, I'm content though. I mean, if you would see fit to do this certain thing in my life, I'd be happy about it. But Lord, what you want, your will be done. If you're not content now, you're not going to be if that situation you think needs to change still changes. I mean, be content. And brother, you should desire things to be different for the Lord. Hey brother, sometimes we'll change things so we can maybe have more time with our families or more time in churches. That's a fine thing. That's a good thing. And I think a noble thing, and God will often grant that thing. But if He has some reason to not do it, you say, well, God, you know what I'm saying? A lot of times we think, well, why wouldn't the Lord do that? Well, He said, my ways not your ways, my thoughts not. I think most of the time He will. But what I'm saying is, brethren, the key is that you say, God, whatever you allow to work out, I trust you and I'm content with you. So often, brethren, we're just like our kids. God has a lot of patience with us. But brethren, we need to learn. We need to learn to set the right kind of example. We need to learn, like our text said tonight, we need to be careful and learn an example from the children of Israel, that we not lust after evil things like they lusted and bring upon ourselves some of the problems like they brought upon themselves. Our Father, we thank you for this. Help us to lay it in our hearts and make application as your Spirit would direct us to. I ask this, Father, in the Lord Jesus' name, for His sake. Amen.